This is Ozarks at Large for Wednesday, June 8th, 2011. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. In a moment, how a Sam's Club is trying to create an operating system that produces zero waste, and what the just-announced iCloud might mean for you.
Last night, the Fayetteville City Council finally voted on a proposed extension of the city's smoking ban in public places. The amendment to the ban, which was first passed by voters at the ballot box several years ago, would have made it illegal to smoke in any bar or tavern inside city limits. Last night, more than three dozen people spoke either for or against the measure that ultimately failed. It's hard to believe that if you live in Fayetteville, you didn't see somebody you know at the meeting, which was carried live on local cable and on the city's website.
People are talking about the difference between the dangers of alcohol and the dangers of smoking. One being that cigarettes cause a public health issue. How can you have a public health issue in a private club?
I have to ask why a public health issue as evidence-based as smoke-free air is even being debated. The Surgeon General Richard Carmona's report in 2006 stated that there was unequivocally no safe exposure to secondhand smoke.
By the end of the comment period, a public school teacher, a legendary law professor, a sports writer, several doctors, many bar owners, a local restaurant owner, a police officer, a barber, and many others had addressed the council. Then, more than 5 hours after the meeting had been gaveled into session last night, the council voted against the amendment.
And with that, Sandra, would you please call the roll?
Getty?
Yes.
Janet?
No.
No. Three council members voted against it, five for it. The amendment failed because it required a supermajority. Six of the eight members needed to support it for it to pass. That's because it would be an amendment to a law that had been earlier passed by voters. Since a supermajority was required, that meant even if the council had split evenly, four votes on each side, the mayor wouldn't be needed to cast a deciding vote. Still, last night, Mayor Lionel Jordan explained that he did support the defeated proposal.
When I ran for this office, 2008, I was asked this very question in a debate. During that debate, said if it came to a vote of the council and I had to vote, I would support the amendment. I said that then. I believe that now. I would vote for this, but I'm not going to be voting tonight. But I want you to know what I would do if I had to vote, because I think it's important that you do know that.
One of the three council members to vote against the measure last night was Mark Kenyon from Fayetteville's Ward 2. This morning, he said the decision he made was a very difficult one.
The entertainment district is in Ward 2, and I had taken a lot of time, as you know, talking to a lot of the businesses here in the entertainment area, up and down Dixon Street and in Ward 2, and I just felt like that... Without exception, every time that I talked to anyone that was actually being impacted by the vote directly, that they did not feel like that it was appropriate for an eight-person city council to make the decision. And so, in the end, I felt like that it should have been a vote that should go to a general election. I mean, certainly on a personal level, I would like to see a smoke-free Fayetteville, but I do represent everyone in Ward 2. The entertainment area is in Ward 2, and so the final decision was after talking to employees in businesses. And, you know, the main argument was everyone saying, we're protecting employees, we're protecting employees. Well, the employees did not, universally, everyone that I talked to did not really feel like they, you know, that they wanted to be protected by this vote that the city council was taking. If it's a public health issue, then everyone in the public has the opportunity to vote in a referendum that goes on a, you know, if it's referred to a general election. And so that was the final decision that I made, and it was very tough, very tough.
And you also mentioned last night when you addressed, after so many people had spoken from Fayetteville, the fact that it required a supermajority to pass, and you said something to the effect that you didn't feel comfortable since you didn't think there was a super majority of the people that were for it.
Well, actually, I kept a spreadsheet, and with the people that I talked to, there were more people that did not want the city council to pass it in this manner. So, right, it wasn't a super majority of people that I talked to that supported it. You know, so that was bottom line. I felt like that I was representing the constituency that I talked to here in Ward 2 that I was voted to represent. And then across the community, it was not a super majority of people that supported the measure overall.
Mark Kenyon, Ward 2 City Council member in Fayetteville, discussing last night's vote about a possible extension of the smoking ban in Fayetteville. That extension was defeated last night by the City Council. An archived video of last night's debate and vote at the City Council meeting is scheduled to be available soon at the website accessfayetteville.org. This is Ozarks at Large.
This is Ozarks at Large. Sam's Club, the warehouse retail arm of Walmart, brags about saving customers money when they buy in bulk. Now, as our energy correspondent Christina Thomas reports, the big box store is trying to do something else in bulk, reduce waste.
Walmart and Sam's Club have a goal: that all stores and clubs in the United States become zero waste by 2025. The vision is to have stores without dumpsters behind them and no grease traps in the deli or auto departments. Literally, zero waste. The basics are simple: recycle, limit use of resources. But those are things that Walmart and Sam's have been doing for years. How does one identify other areas to reduce and save? Michelle Harvey with the Environmental Defense Fund, a NGO with an office in Bentonville that supports Walmart's sustainability endeavors, says that it isn't just one person. The example she gives concerns tire waste.
I mean, what Walmart has done is they've got really innovative people. They've got people really looking at innovative ways to, like, even with the tire waste, there's a guy whose job is basically to find alternative uses. And they do like a... They do, and they do something similar to the Packaging Expo, where they bring in people who are making stuff out of tire waste. So, you know, rubber plungers for the bathroom, those types of things. People have been doing it, but what Walmart's able to do is figure out how do you scale it to where it's really a commercially viable and not just a sort of a nice little niche kind of thing.
The way Sam's has done it is by designating zero waste pilot stores to figure out what they would have to handle to get a club to zero waste. One of these stores is located in Fort Smith. Eric Boyles is part of a four-member operational team whose main goal is to reduce waste and save money. He spoke recently at the Bentonville Sam's Club about one particular issue: how Sam's is handling the grease produced from rotisserie chickens. He also addressed how his team works with other groups to develop this and other ways to save.
Well, two places. So one in Fort Smith, when we were really looking at the whole club, and it was just our team working with the Walmart operations team, working with a lot of different vendors to come up with how do we take all the waste out of a building, and how do we make that either work for us or just pull it out of the landfill is really the main thing. Is we no longer want to supply landfills was our main goal. So our team was looking at just walking around the club, looking in different areas, and we just happened to see a lot of grease being produced from these chickens dripping down and then flushing out. We just got to asking those questions: where does that go? What does that do? At the same time we're doing that, there was a group led by Chris Davis in the environmental services area that was working on a similar issue. Just, you know, we've got these plumbing issues, we've got all this other, this grease, what do we do with it? We just came together at a Sustainable Value Network meeting with our Waste Sustainable Value Network and just started talking about, you know, where the what solutions could we have, and started looking for vendors that were out there, and we found a couple that were able to get us something that we could put on these units and start collecting that grease. So that's really where the idea came from. It was just one of those things. You know, Lee Scott back in 2005 made the announcement we were going to go zero waste by 2025, and it was just when somebody with that amount of clout starts talking about doing those things, you get a lot of minds starting to think that way, and you just come together and try to collaborate and figure out what you can do. So it was really our group with our environmental services group, with our facility maintenance group, working together to come up with that solution, and then also the outside vendors. We couldn't do this if it wasn't for the vendors that help us do it.
At this particular club, that vendor has figured out a way to obtain the one cup of yellow grease each chicken produces and move it through a series of pipes into a collection bin. From the outside, it looks relatively simple.
Basically, what's happening in that unit is there's a little wheel that's spinning, and it's collecting it's separating the water and the grease and pushing the grease off into the little Tupperware style container, if you will, off to the side. It's piped over into that, so that everything coming out of these ovens, then the grease comes out of there. You can kind of see where there's a separation between that pipe and the inlet. And then that small little Tupperware container, well, they'll pull that about once a day. In this club, some clubs pull them about twice a day, depending on the volume that they do. And they'll take that to the back, and there's a container back there where they dump all the grease into. And that container then, once it fills up, or once a month, there's a company that comes by and they pump that out into a truck that goes to the biodiesel or animal feed places.
That company is third-party Quest Recycling. They purchase the grease from Sam's Club, take it, and reuse it. Last year, 236,000 gallons of grease were collected from roughly 350 stores. Of that, most was made into animal feed, while the rest was recycled into biodiesel. Enough fuel to power 18 semi-trucks for an entire year. Michelle speaks of how this supports the closed-loop system that Walmart and Sam's Club would like to achieve.
One of the big goals that Walmart has had is to try to create closed-loop options. So the pizza boxes that you get on market-side pizzas are all made from recycled cardboard that goes out the back of Walmart stores. They've got now a limited, obviously, you know, because it takes a lot of diesel to run the big trucks, but they're able to bring the refined fuel back to Walmart and run the trucks with it.
Collecting the grease keeps it out of the waste stream and allows Sam's Club to save in a number of ways.
The beauty of this program is you get the savings on the grease trap maintenance. Mm-hmm. It's an instant 66% savings on what you were doing previous. So that's really where the return on investment is on the maintenance side of it. And then everything else is just kind of the icing on top of the cake, if you will. The old way of doing things, before we got the collectors, we would pump those traps out once a month because of all the grease that would get in there. Also, what happens is a little bit of that grease leaches out of those traps into the plumbing lines, and it can cause plumbing backups. So there's also a savings on the plumbing side of this. The first year we started doing this in the clubs that we did it in, we saw an instant 20% savings on plumbing issues as well. So we just had, it was just a benefit on a lot of different issues. The sustainability side, obviously the financial piece from the maintenance piece, and then on the plumbing issues as well, it stopped a lot of those plumbing issues from happening.
Sam's will be collecting grease from rotisserie chickens in all of its 609 clubs by the end of the year. Michelle explains that these store-by-store initiatives fit into a global picture for the company.
Because you've got all the work that Walmart's done to date on zero waste. So they've got now, the numbers bobble around, but they're tracking in all of their waste streams, and they've got it to where they're about to be able to report by store. So they know, you know, what's coming from the individual stores. Then when you start into the supply chain, which is what the Sustainable Ag Initiative is about, and you start looking at food waste, you know, throughout the supply chain. I mean, up till now, it's basically been, you know, Walmart gate to gate, mm-hmm. you know, what comes into the store, what goes out of the store. But they are looking at strategies that simply make sense. I mean, this has kind of been Mike Duke's legacy, is to really leverage the global nature of the company and have it work like a global company instead of a U.S. company with international divisions in different parts of the world.
For Ozarks at Large, I'm Christina Thomas.
Christina Thomas is energy correspondent for Ozarks at Large, and support for her work comes in part from Energy Corps.
Earth, sky.
Among galaxies similar to our home galaxy, our Milky Way is rare for having two relatively bright and nearby satellite galaxies.
That's according to a study by Stanford University astronomers who analyzed data collected in the Sloan Digital Sky Survey. The Stanford astronomers studied more than 20,000 galaxies with properties similar to our spiral Milky Way.
The work suggests that only 4% of galaxies like our Milky Way have satellite galaxies as bright and nearby as the large and small Magellanic Clouds. These two small, irregular galaxies orbit our Milky Way much as the Moon orbits Earth. These Milky Way satellites are visible to the eye alone from Earth's southern hemisphere.
Astronomers say this finding lends support to a leading theory of galaxy formation called the cold dark matter theory. According to this theory, dark matter, an invisible and exotic material of unknown composition, is believed to influence the distribution of galaxies in space and the overall expansion of the universe.
One of the researchers also said the work was undertaken to understand how the Milky Way fits into the broader context of the universe, whether our galaxy is typical or not. And with respect to its satellites, at least, it appears that the Milky Way isn't typical, one of only 4% of similar galaxies with satellite galaxies orbiting around it.
Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.
Summer is nearly here, and with it comes the summer theater season. Boar's Head Players opens I Love You Because next week. Rogers Little Theater just had auditions for its summer musical, The Sound of Music. And many other summer productions are either underway or in rehearsal, including A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. You can find out exactly what humorous thing has occurred when the Village Players present the production June 23rd through the 26th at White Auditorium on the Northwest Arkansas Community College campus. Sarah McKinney is a board member for the Village Players.
It's really, really funny. It's a musical. It's based in ancient Rome, and there's a slave that wants to be free, and he finds out that his owner, who's a young single man, is interested in a courtesan. And so he arranges to hook the two of them up so that he can be free. And there's a lot of confusion involved, and turns out the courtesan's already been bought by somebody else. And so it's a lot of mayhem. It's really fun. The music is great. Back in the, I believe, the early 80s, Mel Brooks actually made a movie out of it. So a lot of people are familiar from the movie.
McKinney's first experience with the organization came in 2004 when she helped backstage during one of the players' productions. Since that time, she has also served the group as a treasurer, web administrator, and by performing on the stage. The organization began about 30 years ago in Bella Vista, and today, the Village Players host a mystery dinner theater quarterly and present three shows annually. Proceeds from ticket sales help them fund two scholarships that benefit one Bentonville High School student and one Northwest Arkansas Community College student who will study a subject in the arts or communications fields. As they continue to give back to the community, more local residents are becoming familiar with the organization.
Our group has definitely gotten a lot younger over the years. And we're starting to get, especially with the Mystery Dinner Theater, we're starting to break out into the community where people know who we are. And we're trying really hard to get to be known and have people show up. The community group has really done a lot for me. It helps my self-esteem to get up on stage and sing in front of a crowd of people, of course. But they've become really great friends, the group, and I consider them part of my family now. And pretty much anybody that joins will tell you the same thing.
Several of those who participate in the group are from the Rogers-Bentonville area, but McKinney says participation is open to anybody. She adds that it's very easy to become involved.
If you go to our website, there's a form you can fill out that tells us what you're interested in. Anytime we have a play coming up, we hold auditions approximately 2 months before the play. And all you have to do is show up and try out. For the musicals, we like to have have something arranged for music to do in front of us. But we accept everybody. We try to include everybody that comes in and tries out in the play, especially the large musical plays. So it's a lot of fun.
McKinney explains that actors don't have to perform songs from the play during auditions. She says they can sing something as simple as Happy Birthday. Also, lines don't have to be memorized for tryouts, but if an actor wants to become familiar with the dialogue, scripts are available at the Bentonville Public Library, as well as the library on the Northwest Arkansas Community College campus. For those who prefer to participate from the audience instead of from on the stage, McKinney says the Life Theater will present them with a unique form of entertainment.
It's something different. You know, a lot of people on the weekends, they go and they have dinner and a movie, and it costs just as much to do that these days as it is to go to the theater. And the theater is something fun and different to do. There's great music and great entertainment, and we work really, really hard to put on these shows. We're a nonprofit organization, so we just barely get by when we do the shows, and we also contribute scholarships to the community. So it's a great way to support the local community theater and have some fun.
The show starts at 7:30 p.m. June 23rd through the 25th and at 2 p.m. June 26th. Tickets are $17 for general admission or $12 for students. More information is available at bvvillageplayers.org.
And this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grada.
Something that we mentioned last week that we need to further expand upon today. Last week I mentioned that Mitch Mustaine, former Springdale Bulldog and former Arkansas Razorback,
yes,
and then former USC Trojan, had been drafted by a team from the Canadian Football League, the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
The Tiger Cats. And I wanted to know what a Tiger Cat was.
You questioned, and I did not know what a Tiger Cat was, and I asked if you could find out.
I did. It's basically a tiger and a cat with a hyphen. Apparently, Hamilton had two teams after World War II. They had the Tigers and the Wildcats, and financially splitting up your fans wasn't a smart idea, so they made one team in 1950, Tiger Cats, with a hyphen.
So, the Hamilton
Tiger Cats.
There you go.
Speaking
of athletics and exercising, here's the deal. The days are longer now. The rain has stopped, and fulfilling your promise to do more outside is easier. Except that early June in the Ozarks this year has included temperatures in the 90s, heat index values in the triple digits. As Luke Gramlich reports, heat and exercise is a combination that needs to be approached cautiously.
Summertime and its high temperatures have arrived here in the Ozarks, and for many Northwest Arkansas residents, this means more outdoor recreation. One of the area's most popular outdoor activities is bicycling. Nicole Potter with Fat Tire Bike Shop in Fayetteville shares some advice on how to stay safe and get the most out of bicycling in the hot summer weather.
There's a few simple steps you can do to make riding a bicycle in the summertime a much more enjoyable experience. One of the first ones is clothing. If you get into any kind of a technical fabric, it'll help you get the moisture off of your body while you're riding, which will help you stay cooler and more comfortable.
Potter says a good rule of thumb is to avoid wearing cotton because it holds more moisture and won't let the body cool down as quickly. Another key to staying safe while riding in the summertime heat is to drink water. Lots of water.
You need at least a bottle an hour, and that'd be a 16-ounce water bottle. Would be a minimum, and it's a really good idea to overhydrate, drink a lot before you ride, drink a lot while you ride, and drink a lot when you get done riding. I would say at least two water bottles on the bike, and just, you know, plan your ride with a place to refill your water along the way.
Though it's not as tasty, hot water works just as well as cold water to keep the body hydrated. Potter says once you're thirsty, you're dehydrated. In addition to taking in plenty of water, bicyclists should take in plenty of calories.
You want to be eating food while you ride. If you're out for a ride more than 20 or 30 minutes, it's a good idea to bring some kind of snack, you know, a granola bar, an energy bar, something along those lines, just to keep some calories moving through your body. And it'll just kind of help you keep from crashing. We call it bonking, which is whenever you just kind of get a little grumpy and tired. And it's usually one of two things. It's either hydration or nutrition.
When out riding, wearing sunscreen is always a good precaution to take. If you're mountain biking, ticks and other insect bites can be a concern.
If you use a little bit of a bug spray on your socks or your shoes, lye soap, peppermint soap, some products like that, if you leave them on your skin, will help deter biting insects from getting on you.
And of course, bicyclists should always wear a helmet.
You're going to enjoy cycling a lot more if you manage to not hurt yourself out there.
Nicole Potter works for Fat Tire Bike Shop, located at 3761 North Mall Avenue in Fayetteville and at 106 East Central Avenue in Bentonville. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Luke Gramlich.
It's Wednesday, June 8th, 2011, and this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Kyle Kellums.
And joining us now on the phone from her office in Springdale is Becca Bacon-Martin, editor of What's Up, found in Northwest Arkansas newspapers.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
It's summer, did you know?
Well, it's kind of warm, so.
It was that warm thing and the kids getting out of school thing.
Yeah.
I think the kids are all finally out of school this week, and that's good because summer classes and workshops and all those fun things are getting underway all over the area. There are activities at the Art Center of the Ozarks, the Shiloh Museum, and the Jones Center in Springdale, at Arts Live Theater Square, the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks, and the Northwest Arkansas Community Creative Center in Fayetteville, and at Rogers Little Theater, among others. If you check out nwaonline.com/whatsup, there's a partial listing. We'll have the rest of it in this Friday's What's Up.
So plenty to do to keep the kiddos busy during the summer.
And if you need a theater fix, because you know I always do,
yes,
there's a show called Gaslight at Fort Smith Little Theater. Starts the second weekend of its run at 8 o'clock tonight. It's a mystery. It's a psychological thriller. It's where the term gaslight came from, meaning to try to convince somebody that they're crazy.
Yes, and it was also a movie in the 30s.
Tickets are $10, and you can call 783-2966 for more. Also remember, the Arts Fest continues all week in Bentonville. Today there's an origami workshop at 4 at the library. There's a tasting event at Tuscan Trotter at 6:30. There are literary events, including the poetry, which I can't wait to see, where they're creating a tree out of words.
Oh, oh yes, yes, yes. Poetry.
It's going to be so much fun. And at 6 o'clock, the Best of Offshoot Film Festival presents The Rock and Roll Dreams of Duncan Christopher at the library.
So, plenty to do this week.
Oh, and the weekend's going to be another one of those weekends. So, get your jogging shoes on.
And just to correct something I said earlier, Gaslight, the movie with Ingrid Bergman, was actually made in the 40s, 1944.
Well, at your age, your memory starts to go.
Becca Bacon-Martin is the editor of What's Up, found in Northwest Arkansas newspapers. Thanks, Becca. This is Ozarks at Large for Wednesday, June 8th, 2011. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
With us in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio is our tech guide and ambassador, Tyrell Dennison. Ty, welcome back.
Good morning.
This has been a big week in the digital world, has it not?
It has, yeah. It was exciting times. Monday was Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference, and that's always heavily looked forward to by the geeks around the world.
Steve Jobs actually was on stage. There was some question whether medically he would be able to do so.
Yeah, they actually kind of played with that a little. At the beginning of the conference, they played James Brown's I Feel Good. And
nice.
And so, but he got to come on stage and demonstrate the new Apple products that are coming out.
Well, what did we hear about?
The first thing we heard about was the new operating system, Lion, which is coming out for anyone who uses a Mac for their personal computing. And it's got a lot of new features. Just to kind of hit on some of it quickly, a lot more App Store integration. We're seeing Apple kind of try and merge their iPhone stuff and their iPad stuff with their computers, because there's a lot more people who use iPhones and iPads than use Apple computers. And so you've got things like a Mac App Store now, which is actually the most successful software, Apple software selling entity out there right now. It just took over, just beat Best Buy, and it's selling a ton of stuff. They're adding in-app purchases with the new Lion operating system. So say you're using a program on the computer and you need a new feature that's available, rather than having to go buy it from somewhere, you can simply make that purchase there. And they're making the new updates with Lion come down in what's called Delta, which means rather than downloading the entire new program, you just download the new parts, and that installs to the software you have. So it's going to be a lot simpler, a lot more streamlined. They're adding some new features like Airbox, which if you use programs like Dropbox before, basically this is a folder that's a clouded folder that you can put things into, and anywhere where you've got an Airbox account, that file will show up. So
if Antoinette's in the field working on a story and puts something in a folder, she can send it to the cloud, and then if I'm back here in the studio, I can pick it up.
Absolutely. So that's a real brief explanation of Airbox, and so they're incorporating that into there. Resume is a new thing, to where now when you close a program, so say Microsoft Office or whatever word processor you use, rather than next time you open it up it being a blank, it'll open up where you were last, with the document you were on last, and literally with the cursor where it was last. And so that's a neat feature. You can obviously turn that off if you prefer it otherwise, but they've noticed that more people would rather do that. Added something called Read Later to their browser, which means you're looking at a web page, you don't have time to read it, you think it's going to be interesting, you can put it in Read Later and literally read it later. A lot of these things are already out there, but they're baking them into their operating system now. These are features they've seen people use third-party applications to attain, and being very Apple about it, said, well, hey, we can do that. We'll just go ahead and put it in for everybody. But there are a lot of improvements coming out for iOS 5, the new iPhone operating system. Just to kind of put an end to talking about Lion, that's coming out in July.
Okay.
It'll be $29. You can only get it through the App Store on your Apple. You can't buy a disc anymore. Apple has officially declared the CD obsolete.
Well, don't you need the disc if your computer crashes?
No, they will. You'll take it to a repair center,
okay,
and they'll have access to it.
Okay.
Or you can put it on a USB drive. There's plenty of processes.
It'll be Apple's world. We just live in it.
More or less. Okay. I mean, with the MacBook Air, they've already taken away the CD-ROM altogether, so you couldn't put a CD in it even if you wanted to. So they did this with the floppy drive, and it confused me. My first Apple was a MacBook, and I bought it in probably 2004. And I said, where's my floppy drive? How do I do this? And they're like, you use this little thing called a USB drive. And I said, what's that? That doesn't make sense.
So we catch
here we
up.
Are. We catch up
we
eventually.
Adapt. Okay.
They force us to go along with them.
Well, okay. So tell me, you said that there are going to be improvements for the iPhone. I happen to have an iPhone. What am I going to be able to do better?
A lot of things. They're really excited about what they came out with for their iOS. And it's pretty exciting stuff. A lot of people complained about how notifications come across on your iPhone. So it just kind of interrupts you, and you have to stop what you're doing and acknowledge that you got this notification. They've improved notifications now to where it'll show up a little bit on the top of your screen notifying you. And then you'll have the option of flicking down at the top of your screen, and it's going to pull down a notification center that'll list all your notifications, your emails, your text messages, weather updates you signed up for, things of that nature. And then you can make that disappear. They'll also have that notification on the lock screen. Another feature that they've brought about that a ton of people have asked for is better stuff for your camera. So everyone complains that to use your camera on your iPhone, you got to take out your phone, unlock it, find your app, push the app, and sit and wait for it to come up. Now they've got it to where you'll be able to double-click on the home button, a little camera icon will show up. You tap that. It takes you right to your camera, and you can actually use your volume button as the shutter button.
Oh, I like that.
And that's big news. Everybody was cheering ecstatically when they announced that. It's funny to watch all the excited Apple developers get so excited about new features and cheer. And
because you did watch this.
I watched it live because I'm one of those
that's fine
cheering Apple developers, except I did it from the convenience of my office. Another thing they're bringing in, so there's already iBooks. They're bringing in what's called Newsstand, which is going to allow you to do the same thing with subscription magazines, newspapers, and that'll actually download in the background. So say you want to download your local newspaper, mm-hmm. the digital edition, and subscribe to it on your iPad. You can have it set up to do it automatically, and you wake up in the morning and it's already there on your iPad or your iPhone or wherever you want to read it.
So our local newspaper is going to have to sign up for that, or if they just have they already have a website, then that'll work. Or is this a whole new app that
they're
going to have to?
Well, they won't have to necessarily design something specific for Apple. There'll be ways to make your newspaper play pretty with Apple.
Okay.
They're trying to make it easier, and that's the print publishing world is trying to figure how that all goes together, and that's a it's a big learning curve right now. But
it's another challenge. Yeah.
It's happening. It's working, and it just requires patience when we have a big switch in medias like this. And you know, there are definitely some rough times, but we'll be happy to see local news coming to us on our digital devices very soon. And I know that most local places want to get you that. They want to get you the news where you're reading it. And so if that's your iPhone or your iPad or your Android tablet or wherever, they're gonna make that happen.
Twitter is going to play a bigger part now?
Yeah. Twitter has, some would say, won the social media war in that they have an official integration into the iOS. But, yeah, you'll be able to tweet from inside applications. You'll be able to send locations, things like that. And so it's kind of a bit of a thumbing of their nose at Facebook, because Facebook hasn't gotten integration with that. Microsoft has partial ownership of Facebook. So there's the potential for that in the future. But we'll see what happens. Right now, Google and Apple are the two main guys in the mobile world, and mm-hmm. there's no way Google and Facebook are going to play friends together. So this is a good thing for Twitter. They'll be happy about that. But they've improved all kinds of other stuff, though. You'll be able to get reminders based on time and location. So as you're walking past the grocery store or driving past the grocery store, your phone will tell you, hey, you told me you need to get eggs. Stop in there and grab some eggs.
You have a pained look, Antoinette. You don't think that is something that will be valuable?
I suppose. That just seems...
Big brotherish?
Yeah. What was that? Minority Report? Where they'd walk by and it would show the dress or whatever, that no, you would look great in this. Like, that just seems very, yeah.
It is very Minority Reportish. And a lot of what's fun is a lot of bad science fiction makes for a lot of really good. Not that Minority Report is bad science mm-hmm. fiction.
No, but.
But a lot of science fiction produces stuff that we get down the road. Mm-hmm. A lot of innovators look to stuff like that. So there are plenty of people out there trying to create a Minority Report world. Well, but with all that, they're also trying to make things a lot easier. So they're cutting the cord, so to speak. They're making it to where you don't have to plug your device in anymore. And people are really happy about that. Again, lots of geeky cheers heard around the world. So when you bought an iPad or an iPhone before, you plugged it in, you turned it on. Or before you plugged it in, you turned it on, and you got the little signal that showed your USB cable and plug it into the mm-hmm. world. And it was a cute way of Apple telling you, hey, plug this into a computer. Now you turn it on. The first time you buy it, you get a welcome screen. And you set it up. And you never have to, unless you want to, plug it into a computer. This is huge because a lot of people don't want to have to plug their tablet into a computer. They should do its own thing. And so Apple's making that happen now. And a lot of the way that they're making that happen is with the new product that they were so proud to announce Monday, iCloud.
iCloud. Now, this is the big one. This is what people are talking about.
Right. This had a lot of people excited, and then some, like Antoinette, a little worried.
Well, I'm confused. Doesn't the cloud already exist? Because there's a whole commercial where they're like, to the cloud.
Well, the cloud does exist. To refer to cloud computing refers to some people may be familiar with what's called terminal computing, which means back in the day they were when computers were huge, they would sit in a server room and you would have a terminal station, which was a keyboard and a monitor, and you would work on that. And the big computer was sitting somewhere down in your office, you know, and being taken care of. And so now what's happened is the cloud has replaced that big terminal. And so rather than having a big machine sitting downstairs in your office building, you've got hard drives in various locations all over the U.S. and some all over the world that have that information. And so you access that information via the internet and communicate with those things through the web. So cloud computing refers more to just a specific Microsoft or Apple or Google product. Cloud is kind of the overall term for it. Apple, being very Apple, decided we'll just go ahead and call our cloud iCloud.
Of course.
And so that they've done. And there's a lot of neat features that are coming to Apple through iCloud. A lot of these features are already available for people who use Android phones with Google. Google has been...
Because you've got stuff like Google Docs that's Google, out there, right?
Google Docs is out there. Google Calendars is out there. Google also had their music sharing software release. I think it's been 2 weeks ago now, their big music locker. And so Google's been very innovative when it comes to cloud computing. And Apple has now decided they're throwing their hat in the ring and helping you get what you want everywhere you want it. And so that's one of the advantages of cloud computing is I no longer have my music just on my computer. My music is also available anywhere I've got the internet access with some cloud computing. There's some limitations of that. I'll talk about those in just a sec. But with iCloud specifically, since we're looking at what Apple talked about on Monday, your contacts will now be sunk. So you change a contact on your phone, it's going to change on your computer. It's going to change on your iPad. Same with your calendar events. If you add something new to your calendar on your computer, it's going to add it to your phone, to your iPad.
To Apple TV?
I'm not familiar if there's a calendar on Apple TV.
Well, there isn't yet, but I'm assuming...
some stuff...
Every time I turn on an Apple TV, there's something new, it seems.
Right, and anything that they add to the Apple TV will be integrated into iCloud for sure. But I don't think there's a calendar yet. But one thing neat about calendars is I can add that to my wife's calendar. She also has an iPhone. I can add an event, and if we've got our calendar synced, boom, it shows up on her phone too. And so she gets notifications of things like that. Your documents, if you use iWorks, will be synced that same way. So kind of like Google Docs already is with Android, you'll have that now with your Apple computer and your iOS devices. You mentioned with the Apple TV, they'll do that with photos. So if I take a picture on my phone, take a series of pictures, and I come home, I can go to my Apple TV, turn it on, and pull up and look at those pictures on my TV or turn them into a screensaver or anything like that automatically without having to do the whole connect to a device here and connect to a device there. Again, just really trying to cut the cord, so to speak, and make things go around a lot easier. But you'll be able to use this kind of technology for 10 different devices.
So that the idea there is you can include an entire family.
Right.
Because who has 10 devices?
Well.
Oh, really?
Some technophiles will surprise you.
I was going to say.
You know, I've got my work computer. I've got my home computer. I've got a laptop. I've got my iPhone. I hope to acquire an iPad in the near future. And that's it for me. But I'm not a big spender. I know plenty of people who love spending that money on, especially on Apple products.
But 10 devices, as long as they're Apple,
right? Or running Apple software, so you can use your iTunes PC, iTunes on your PC, and that counts as one of your devices as well.
So the Lion for the Mac comes out in July.
Mm-hmm.
The iPhone update.
iOS 5 will be out this fall. iCloud will be baked into it, so it'll come with it. They're real vague about when it's going to come out in the fall. I'm guessing because they're going to talk about a new iPhone around the same time, and so they don't know when they're going to be able to release that iPhone, so they don't know when they're going to release the iOS 5, because I'm sure the new iPhones will come with iOS 5 on them. And so, again, that's all speculation. There's tons of rumors that follow Apple and Google and anybody technical at this point. But, yeah, that's coming out this fall. Although you can get iTunes Match now with a new download. They've made it available in beta to the general public to use. As of right now, if you upgrade your iTunes, you'll have that potential.
Tyrell, thank you very much.
You bet.
This is Ozarks at Large, Garrison Keillor, and today's edition of the Writer's Almanac, just ahead.
The 2011 Gully Park Summer Concert Series has a full summer of free concerts lined up. The next one is June 9th. That's tomorrow with Tiffany Christopher. Concerts are on Thursday evenings from 7 to 9 p.m., and more information can be found at 479-575-8369.
And speaking of music, musician Bill Hearn, he's been singled out by artists including Lyle Lovett and Nancy Griffith as a major influence in their careers, will be performing at Good Folk in Fayetteville the next night, Friday night, beginning at 8 p.m. His trio features Bob Goldstein on lead guitar, mandolin, and banjo, and Lance Quadri on bass. Goodfolk.org for more information.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 8th of June, 2011. It's the birthday of the editor who is given credit for ushering in the golden age of science fiction, John W. Campbell, born Newark, 1910. His father was an electrical engineer. The boy was interested in science growing up, started writing science fiction when he was 18, when he was a student at MIT. Wrote a novella early on called Who Goes There, about a group of researchers in Antarctica discover an alien buried in the ice that has the ability to inhabit the body of anyone it attacks to such a degree that it's impossible for the researchers to recognize which of them are still themselves and which are now aliens. It was made into a movie called The Thing back in 82. But his great contribution to science fiction was as an editor of the magazine Astounding Science Fiction from 1937 on. It was John Campbell who wanted science fiction to be based on real science. He championed writers like Isaac Asimov and Robert A. Heinlein, Theodore Sturgeon. He wanted stories in which scientists acted the way scientists do and engineers the way engineers do, and that the scientific culture be represented accurately. Isaac Asimov remembered John W. Campbell as a tall, large man with light hair, a beaky nose, a wide face with thin lips, a cigarette and a holder clamped between his teeth. He was talkative, opinionated, quicksilver-minded, overbearing. It's the birthday of the best-selling crime novelist Sarah Paretsky, born in Ames, Iowa, 1947. She grew up in rural Kansas. Her father taught microbiology at the University of Kansas. The family lived on a farm outside Lawrence. Paretsky went to the University of Kansas, then left for Chicago, where she did community service work, where she met her husband, helped raise his three children, decided to write a novel. She had been thinking about Raymond Chandler's work. She didn't like that in Raymond Chandler, the women tended to be femme fatales, women using their bodies to try and make good boys do bad things. Sarah Paretsky said, "I wanted a woman who could be a whole person, which meant that she could be a sexual person without being evil, that she could be an effective problem solver, as women are in reality, but not very often in fiction or on the screen, and that who she was sexually had nothing to do with it except that it made her more fully human." So she wrote Indemnity Only. It came out in 1982, a novel featuring a hard-boiled female detective, V.I. Warshawski, who's smart, good with a gun, also likes nice shoes, and enjoys a nice sex life. A popular character, and Paretsky has written 13 more novels about her. Here's a poem for today by Donald Hall entitled The Things. When I walk in my house, I see pictures bought long ago, framed and hanging, de Kooning, Arp, Lorenzen, Henry Moore, that I've cherished and stared at for years. Yet my eyes keep returning to the masters of the trivial, a white stone perfectly round, tiny lead models of baseball players, a cowbell, a broken great-grandmother's rocker, a dead dog's toy, valueless, unforgettable detritus that my children will throw away, as I did my mother's souvenirs of trips with my dead father, Kodaks of kittens, and bundles of cards from her mother, Kate. The Things, a poem by Donald Hall, from The Back Chamber, published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, where your mobile device can turn into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry app. You can find it online at poetryfoundation.org. Edited by Noah Smith, written by Betsy Allister. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Almost all the time we have for this edition of Ozarks at Large. But first, a nod to four Arkansas Razorback baseball players.
Okay.
Who were drafted yesterday in the second day of the Major League Baseball draft.
Congratulations.
Yes. James McCann, catcher for the Razorbacks. Mm-hmm. He was the first current Razorback to be selected in this year's draft. He was taken the second round yesterday by the Detroit Tigers. Colin Kuhn was taken in the 17th round by the White Sox. Trent Daniel, who's a left-handed pitcher, was taken in the 23rd round by the Detroit Tigers, and Kyle Robinson went in the 28th round to the Chicago White Sox.
So does that mean they'll get to play, or will they maybe end up on the team's minor league
team? Well, yeah, you would definitely, if they sign.
I guess I don't know how it works.
Most of them are underclassmen. You're eligible after your junior year in college baseball. If they sign, yes, almost everybody goes to the minor leagues. I'm trying to think of the last person who went straight to the major leagues. Maybe Tony Gwynn?
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very rare.
Okay.
So, yes, they would be signed by these teams and then probably assigned to lower level rookie league or class A. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully we'd get to
move
see them.
Up, right.
Right.
Oh, that's still a good opportunity.
Yes. Brett Eibner, who was drafted last year by the Kansas City Royals, we may see him as a Northwest Arkansas Natural someday.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. And the draft, I believe, continues for one more day.
Local support for Ozarks at Large comes from Malco Theaters, featuring Stephen Sondheim's company with the New York Philharmonic. This concept musical was shot in April and features Neil Patrick Harris, Patti LuPone, Stephen Colbert, John Cryer, and more. Four screenings will be held from June 15th through the 21st. Tickets and information available at malco.com.
Support also comes from Ella's Restaurant, located at the Inn at Carnell Hall on the University of Arkansas campus. Ella's offers a variety of fine dining experiences during breakfast, lunch, dinner, and weekend brunch. And Indian Lunch Buffet is served each Tuesday. Menus, event schedules, and more information available at ellasrestaurant.com.
A service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Forum. And where's Forum, Kyle?
Forum is in Newton County.
There you go.
All right. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Thanks so much for listening.
Have a good day.